after the people of God had gotten into the promised land and began to conquer and began to settle into the land that God had promised the people of Israel. Now we go into the book of Judges, and we find as God raised some judges or governors to help the people of Israel during this time as they were making this transition of establishing themselves there in that new land, in that promised land. And so we want to learn some things from the judges that will help us hopefully this summer to stay on fire for God. And so Judges chapter number 3, verse number 7 to verse number 11 says this way, "And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and forgot the Lord their God, and served Balaam and the groves. Therefore the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he sold them into the hand of Chushan-Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia. And the children of Israel served Chushan-Rishathaim 8 years. And when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord raised up a deliverer to the children of Israel who delivered them, even Othniel the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he judged Israel and went out to war. The Lord delivered Chushan-Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia, into his hand, and his hand prevailed against Chushan-Rishathaim. And the land had rest 40 years, and Othniel, the son of Kenaz, died." Let's pray. Father, I just thank you so much for your word. And Father, as we get into this message this morning, I pray that first of all that you would fill me with your Spirit, that we'd be ready, that I would be ready to deliver this message with clarity, Father, with passion, and that, Father, we'd be ready to grow together in your word this morning. I ask that your Spirit would speak to the hearts of your people here this morning, that we would be ready to apply the truth of your word as we understand it, as the Spirit begins to show us areas in our lives that we perhaps need to change or perhaps just need to be aware of. I pray that the life of Othniel would be an example to us this morning to make this summer a better summer than last summer was, and to continue to keep the fire for you kindled. So I pray that you would speak to us this morning and use your word to do it. I hide me behind thy cross. Fill me with your Spirit. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
The empty tomb.
To be the desire of every Christian this morning to make this summer one that is filled with the fire of God in their life. We ought not to experience a summer slow, but a summer go. You know, in the life of a Christian, many times when it comes to summertime, sadly, we experience more of a summer slow than a summer go. Too many times we sort of get into a habit or a pattern in our life where when it comes to serving God during the summer, it sort of just slows down. We're just not as faithful. And I know sometimes we have a little bit of a more crowded schedule, of course, with the kids not going to school. Maybe you have more time with them and you want to go out on vacation and things that of that nature. And I think you ought to do that in the summer. But it never ought to be an excuse to get away from being faithful to God, from serving God. In fact, there's more of an opportunity in the summer to do and serve God together as a family than there is really throughout the school year. You know, throughout the school year, you're always battling things like school events and you got the games that they're going to and the sports activities that they're involved in. But it seems like in the summer is when you have most of the time to be there with your family. And it's a great opportunity to serve God together as a family, to make the summer something that is unbelievable, that is so different from the rest of the year. It's a time where you really can get on fire for the things of God and get on fire for God. And so I want to challenge you this morning in the next few weeks, I guess in these couple months of summer that we have of June and July, I want to challenge you to stay on fire for God, to stay faithful to God, to determine today that you're going to fight for the things of God. You know that during World War II, there was a young soldier by the name of David Webster. He was from Easy Company of the 101st Airborne. And during that time, while he was serving over there overseas, he wrote his mom a letter, and he wrote these words. He said, "Mom, stop worrying about me." He says, "I joined the parachutists to fight, and I intend to fight. If necessary, I shall die fighting. But don't worry about this, because no war can be won without young men dying. Those things which are precious are saved only by sacrifice." And can I just say, if you're going to have a summer that's going to be on the go and on fire for God, then you're going to have to be ready to sacrifice. You're going to have to be ready to fight for those things that are most precious. And I really can't think of anything better in our world this morning. There's really nothing better that you can experience this summer than serving God, than living for God, than being a witness for God. And in Judges chapter 3, we're gonna look at a man this morning by the name of Othniel who was willing to do just that in his life. He was willing to fight and sacrifice for God's cause in his life, for God's purposes of his life. Now, though he was not living in the best of times, if you know a little bit about the history and background of the book of Judges, you'll know that they are just getting into the promised land. As I said earlier, Moses has died, Joshua has died, who was their leader and who was really the man that was helping them conquer all of that promised land. But now those leaders have died, and the Bible says there in Judges that a generation arose that knew not God. And for some reason, the generation before them, those that were in the book of Joshua, those parents and those leaders there, were not able to pass on to that next generation the love and fire for God and the desire to live out His purposes as they did in their life. And for some reason, that generation just was lost. That generation, though they had many victories, though they were able to get into the promised land and they were able to conquer and have many victories, yet for some reason they weren't able to get that next generation to have that same kind of fire. And sometimes it's like that. Sometimes in the Christian life, when you first get saved, you're on fire and you see God starting to transform your life and to do something big in your life. And that second generation many times is a little bit more difficult. It's a little bit harder sometimes to remind your kids where sin had taken you and where God had redeemed you out of and the kind of lifestyle that you were saved from when you got saved. And sometimes it's hard to pass that on, but may I say it's very necessary. So many times as Christians, we let ourselves get into this kind of idea of making just the Christian walk and the Christian journey something of a routine, something that you just sort of do to do, but it's nothing real, it's nothing vibrant, it's nothing that is on hot or gets you on fire for God. You know, the times in which Othniel lived were times of national falling away from God. You'll read in verse number 7 that the people, it says, they forgot God. They stopped following after Him. It was a time when the whole nation as a whole was going away from the things of God and from the purposes of God and the truths of God. And even though God had recently brought him to the promised land by giving him some amazing victories, when you think about what happened at Jericho, you think about people that just walked around a city 13 times, yelled, and the walls came down. When you look at many of the other battles that they had, sometimes God would use hell to come down and save them as the hell destroyed their enemy. And many ways that God at one point used, God at one point made the sun stand still, the Bible says, so that they could continue fighting for another 24 hours and God gave them a victory. And through all those amazing victories there in that promised land, they still got to a point where they just forgot God. They got to a point where they began to fall away from the things of God. You know, it's so ironic, I guess, in some ways to see Israel and see their history and then look at our own nation and look at our history. And when you look at the nation of the United States and in these 200 plus years that it has been around, you're amazed at what God was able to do with these founding fathers of our nation as they trusted in God, as God gave them some unbelievable victories, victories that they probably should have never won. Militarily, we were overmatched, and as a nation, we probably never should have won the Revolutionary War, but yet, through God's providence and through God's hand, they were able to win. And we saw many victories over the history. And yet, when you look at our nation today, you see them falling further and further and further away. I don't know how many were able to watch the game last night. I didn't get to watch really all of it. But there was a soccer game last night between the United States and Venezuela. And it was on Fox Sports 1. And I just tuned in to see a little bit of the game. And it was shocking to me as the U.S. soccer team on their jersey, on their back, the numbers were all in rainbow. And I thought, oh, I wonder why they're doing that. And I looked it up and they're celebrating the month of LGBT Community Month or something like that. And they were doing that. And I just thought, how sad that as a nation we are uplifting such wickedness. That as a nation, we're willing to try to stand behind something that God calls an abomination. And when you look at where we're at as a nation, and you look where Othniel was as a nation when he was living in his day and age, you see a lot of similarities. You see a lot of things that you can say, man, I can somewhat understand how Othniel must have felt. I can somewhat understand what he must have felt like and what he was living through. I think we can sort of join him in understanding that. But what we sometimes miss about it is that we miss the victories that sometimes that we should have because we don't live some of the truths that Othniel believed. I want to encourage you this morning. There's just some three truths that I want to share about Othniel's life this morning that I believe that we need to understand and to apply in our life if we're going to make this summer one of going, of staying on fire for God and not just getting into a lull, not just falling asleep. You know, in the summer, when it comes to your Christian life, you either heat up for God or you dry up for God. Do you know that the Christian life is not a static life? It's not one that just stays. You're either drawing closer to God on a daily basis or you're falling further away from Him. But you're never just in the same place doing nothing. The Christian life is not a static life. It's a dynamic life. It's always changing. You're going in one direction or another. So I want to challenge you with this thought this morning. First of all, I want you to notice in Othniel's life, I want you to notice, first of all, Othniel's past success. Othniel's past success. I want you to notice, if you will, that he had slain giants. If you look at Joshua chapter number 15 and verse number 16 there in your notes, it says, And Caleb said, "He that smiteth Kirjath Sepher and taketh it to him will I give Aksah my daughter to wife." And Othniel, the son of Kenaz, the brother of Caleb, took it. And he gave him Aksah, his daughter, to wife. We find, if you read even, and I didn't put this in your notes, but read verse 14 of Joshua chapter 15, you'll find that the children of Anak were there. Anak was the lead. That was Goliath's great-great-great-great-grandfather, if you will. He was the line of which the giants on the earth came from. These were men that were very tall, very big, men that were warriors. And they lived on the mountains there of what we know as Hebron, okay, there in the Bible. And Caleb, this is Othniel's uncle, said, if somebody can take that mountain, I'll give my wife to daughter. And Othniel, the Bible says, Othniel, it points him out. It says, and he was willing to go and take and fight it. And it says, and Othniel took it. I just want you to know that in his past, he had slain giants. He was a very brave man, and really in every aspect of the word. He came from a family that feared God. Caleb, his uncle, was 85 years old and still fighting to get the promised land, fighting giants and getting the mountains. In fact, at 85, Caleb said, "Give me this mountain." He told Joshua, he says, "You remember when we went to spy out the land and only Joshua and him had come back with a good report?" And he says, "Joshua, you remember that 40 years ago?" He said, "And we went and we spied out the land, and there was that mountain that we know as Jerusalem today." He said, and I wanted that mountain. And you know what? I'm 85, and today I'm just as strong. And by the way, my desire hasn't changed. My passion hasn't changed. Joshua, I want that mountain." That was Othniel's uncle. He was from a family that loved God, that knew God, that was a fearless and a brave family. Listen, they weren't looking for the easy places in the promised land. Where's the easy place to conquer? Where are the smaller and the weaker people at? No, Othniel was one that was looking for the next challenge. He was one that was saying, "Okay, well, where are the giants at? Where's the mountain at? Give me that challenge and I'll take it." That was kind of Othniel's pedigree, and he had success in doing that. And may I just encourage you this summer, if you will, I want to encourage you to have that kind of attitude. To remember, listen, God has brought me some great success in my life. There's probably been some things that you can look back in this past school year, college student or high school student, that you can say, "Man, God really did something in my life. I saw God at work." You can think, as a parent, perhaps in these last 6 months, you can think of times where God provided for the bills that you needed to pay and provided some of the provisions that you needed in your home and in your marriage. And you can think of God's given you victories and some past successes. We see in Othniel's life, there's past success like that. He was looking for that next challenge, for that next mountain to conquer. He was one that had slain giants, but secondly, he was one that had taken mountains. His goals were not limited just to what was simple and easy. He was not content with that which came easy, but he wanted to have something that required faith to have. I wonder, in our Christian life, are we content with the easy stuff of the Christian life? You know, in the country in which we live in, and we're so blessed to be able to have the freedom to sort of just go to church and be here this morning. We don't really have to be afraid that the state police is going to come and harm us. And thankfully, up to this point, there's not really been any terrorist attacks as there was in London yesterday and last night. There hasn't been really any of that in our churches today, or as in Egypt for many of the Christian churches, where they show up on a Sunday and they don't know if they're going to get blown up or not. And so really, coming to church is somewhat of an easy thing. It's really easy for us. It's a convenient thing, and it's an easy thing for us to do. But I wonder, are you content with just the easy things in life, like just coming to church? The easy things of the Christian life, or are you a little bit more challenged than that? Do you want God to do something a little bit greater? Would you take on that mountain, if you will, in your spiritual life and say, you know what, I know it's going to take time, but I want to dig a little bit deeper into the Word of God. I want to study some things out a little bit more. I want to take time and I want to try to memorize some new verses this summer. I promise you, if Othniel was in our congregation today, if he was living in America today, he would be a man that in the summers was probably going to try to learn some more scripture. He wasn't going to be content with the 5 verses that he knew. He said, well, maybe I can make it 10. Maybe I can make it 15. Maybe I can make it 20. I mean, he was looking for the mountains. And in Othniel's life, he had had past success in that area. He not only slain giants, he not only went to where the toughest warriors were of his day, but he went to the tallest mountains as well. We see the past success that he has. And as you read there in Judges chapter 3, you read in verse number 7 and verse number 8 and verse number 9, we find that that Othniel was the one that the people of Israel were looking to deliver them. As they cried out to God, God began to speak to Othniel. It's amazing to see who God chose. And by the way, God usually chooses those with past successes. God usually chooses those that have that kind of faith and that kind of fire in their life. You say, I'd like for God to use me in a way like that. I would like to see God do some great things through my life and conquer a mountain like Othniel did. Well, let me ask you, how successful have you been lately? How committed have we been lately? Can I encourage you that as a Christian, your heart's desire ought to be, listen, I need to get that next mountain. I didn't remember those great successes in the past that God has helped me. And God willing, just like he helped me back then, he'll help me again now. So we find that Othniel had some past success in his life. But you know, sometimes when it comes to past success, if you're not careful, past success becomes just that. Past success. The Christian life, as Christians, the biggest thing that you and I need to fear sometimes is success in the Christian life. Because success sometimes can breed a little bit of a big head. It can breed a little bit of arrogance in your life to where you say, yeah, this thing of the Christian, that's easy. And you know what you're doing, and you get into this sort of routine of things, and you just stop growing because you've had so much success. One of the things you need to be careful for about past successes is just that very fact, that it's a past success. You know what Paul used to say? Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind and looking towards those things which are before, I press towards the mark. You know, part of those things that are looking past those things which are behind are those successes that are in the past. Man, God did that for you earlier this year. God's done some great and amazing things for you in this past maybe 9 or 10 months of the school year, but you know that God wants to do some even greater things this summer. God still wants to do something even greater in your family, and he doesn't need the school year to do that. He wants you to do it now and stay on fire now. So we see Othniel's past success, but then we see Othniel's present strength. You see that he did not just rely. And by the way, I praise God for the men of this church that have been here since the past with the past successes. I thank God for people like Brother Moreno, who's been in our church almost since its inception. I appreciate a man that has enough faith to put his name on a bank to get a loan where you owe the building and you owe the property, and you can only pay the pastor $40 a week. I'm so glad he still had enough faith to sign and say, well, with God's help, we're going to pay him. And with God's help, we're going to pay off the building. With God's help, we're going to pay off some of this property. And with God's help, we're going to grow. And he's still here today. I praise God for men in the late 80s and in the 90s that just stuck it out. That said, yeah, I know God's given us a lot of past success, but you know what? The best days of Bethany Baptist Church are still before us. They're not behind us. But in order to experience that kind of success in the present, in order to continue to keep growing, let me just give you a little key that's here that you find in verse number 10. That first phrase in verse number 10 gives us the key of what his present strength was. You know, he had some great success. He had killed giants. He had taken mountains. But he wasn't depending on that. Verse number 10 tells you where his present strength came from. And it says, and it says in verse number 10, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him. Charles Spurgeon said this, without the Spirit of God, we can do nothing. We are as ships without the wind, branches without sap, and like coals without fire, we are useless. Let me just say, if you're going to have a summer that you're going to heat up for God, if you're going to have a summer where you're going for God, you're going to have the Spirit of God in your life. You're going to have the Spirit of God, first of all, controlling you. You'll notice that Othniel was controlled by the Spirit. Now, I want to share two things about the Holy Spirit and the way he works. He works in two venues, and I want you to, I don't know if this is in your notes, but you can write it somewhere. One of the venues in which the Holy Spirit works is in the working to produce the outward change and the enabling of God's children to do the work of God. One of the ways that the Holy Spirit works in your life is enabling you, giving you the strength, the power, if you will, to do what God has called you to do. Sometimes you find Christians, and this is normal. I don't think it's way out of whack, but sometimes you find Christians say, I don't know that I can be a good witness because I don't know what to say to people. I get so nervous, I don't know what verses to share. But you know, when you commit yourself to saying, well, the Bible says that I need to be a witness for God, so I'm just going to be a witness for God. When you begin to have that commitment in your life and you begin to depend on the Spirit of God, you know what the Spirit of God does? He enables you. He brings verses to mind. You know that Jesus told the disciples, when I'm gone, this Comforter who is the Holy Spirit, he will bring to mind, he will guide you of all the things that you need to know. All the things that you need to write and record. The Holy Spirit will help you do that. Othniel was a man that decided, you know what? The present strength that I need is the Spirit of God in my life. He was one that was willing to be controlled by the Spirit of God. In fact, Ephesians 5:18 says, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. You know why Paul uses the picture there of wine? What do we say when someone is drunk and driving? They give them what is called a DUI. You know what DUI stands for? Driving under the influence. And Paul says, you know, when you drink wine, you're under the influence of that alcohol. That begins to change your personality. Did you know that? If you've ever been around someone that is drunk, you know that sometimes those that get drunk, sometimes they get very mean and they begin to be very abusive in what they say and in what they do. There's others that they change completely their personality. They become the greatest romantics that there are, the greatest Casanovas that there is when they're under the influence of the alcohol. The alcohol begins to warp your mind, and it's amazing. That's not just something that the Bible says. If you read there, and I was trying to take my CDL a few years ago, and I was reading there in the manual that the Texas Public Department of Public Safety gives you as you're studying for the CDL, and it says there in the manual, if you just even have one drink, it already affects your judgment. Just one drink begins to affect your judgment. That's not an inspired book, by the way. That's not God speaking through that book. But what God says is the truth. And even those that don't believe the Bible have to come under the realization and confess that even one drink begins to influence you. And Paul tells the Christians there in Ephesus, be not drunk. Don't be under the control of that alcohol, but be under the control of the Holy Spirit in your life. You say, if you're going to have a summer that has you going and going and going, you're going to have to get under the control and under the power of the Holy Spirit. You're going to have to give to Him control. You say, you're going to need power in witnessing. You're going to need power, let me say, if you're a Sunday school teacher, in teaching your Sunday school class this summer. You're going to need God's power in sharing with others the truth of the gospel and what has changed your life. You're going to need God's power to do that. And that only comes through the control of the Holy Spirit. The control, allowing Him to guide and lead you. We find that Othniel was controlled by the Spirit, but listen, secondly, he was yielded by the Spirit, or yielded to the Spirit. You see, the other avenue or the other venue through which the Holy Spirit works is not only to help you change outwardly, right, and enable you to do what God has called you to do outwardly, but he begins to work on you inwardly, on the inside. Look at 2 Corinthians, and I don't know if I put this in your notes or not, but 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 18. It says, "But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." You know what the Spirit of God does inwardly? He begins to change you to be more like Christ. That's what that verse is talking about. He's saying we're getting more into the image of Jesus Christ, even to glory to glory. Part of the Holy Spirit is to get that fruit of the Spirit in your life, to get you to be more Christ-like. You know what the fruit of the Spirit is? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, temperance. That is what the character you should have when you're controlled by the Holy Spirit. When you're allowing the Spirit to begin to mold you, that becomes the characteristics of your life. These fruits of the Spirit. We are to reflect Jesus' person in our life, in all that we say and all that we do. James 4:7 says, "Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." Basically, James is teaching us this of yielding to the Spirit of God. I just say, if you're going to have a summer of success this summer, if you're going to stay on fire, if that means you're going to be faithful in your attendance, if you're going to be faithful in your Bible reading and in your prayer, if you're going to be faithful in your walk and in growing in your walk with God, you're going to have to come under the control of the Spirit of God. You're going to have to be yielded to that Spirit. We find that Othniel was a man who had past successes, but he also had present power. He had present strength for what was going through. I often wonder, what does a church look like whose members are under the control of the Holy Spirit? What would happen to Bethany Baptist Church if everyone in this room decided to say, you know what, I'm just going to yield to the Holy Spirit of God. I'm going to let him control my life. And from now on, any decision I make, I'm going to consult with him first. Anything I do, I'm going to go through the power of the Holy Spirit. What would happen? What do you think would happen in your Sunday school class? What would happen in our services? What would happen with our singing, with our giving? What would happen in our families, in our homes, in our marriages? What would happen? What happens when someone yields themselves? You say, I don't know. Well, then let's find out this summer. I'm sort of anxious to find out myself. I'd like to see what our church would look like if every member in this room right now decided to say, I'm gonna be yielded to the Spirit of God. I guarantee you there would be some revival. I guarantee you'd be excited a little bit more than just who's going to win between the Cavs and the Warriors. It's not going to even come through your mind. Simply saying, we can see something great this summer if we just decide to be controlled, to have that present strength in our life. But I want you to notice, thirdly, Othniel's peaceful stay. We find that God raised Othniel up and he delivered this king of Mesopotamia into his hand. And in verse number 11 it says, and the land had rest 40 years. Othniel's peaceful stay. Let me just say, when he had this power of God on him, when he began to lead by the Spirit of God controlling his life, you know what it produced? It produced, first of all, fruitful victory. You read in verse number 10, it says, and the Lord delivered that king of Mesopotamia into his hand. The Lord delivered the enemy into the hands of Othniel. You see, it is ever the fruit of being in the power of God's enabling to experience victory. It's always like that. You depend on God. You let the Spirit of God control your life. You're yielded to his will. Not doing whatever you want, but doing what he wants. Letting him mold you and change you more to be Christ-like in your life. And you know what results? Victory. Victory. You see, God has never lost a battle. Have you ever stopped to think about that? History was one of my favorite subjects growing up in school. And you look through history and you find all these battles that the U.S. has won and some they have lost. And we sort of think about war and we think about, well, that's how war goes. You win some battles, you lose some battles. The key is to win more battles than you lose and you'll win the war. But when it comes to God, you know that he's never lost? Not once. There's nothing that's ever been able to defeat him. There's never been anything that's ever able to overpower him. There's never been anything that's too much for him. You say, then why do I fail? You see, anytime we fail or lose a battle, it's not because God's not giving us the power. It's because we're lacking in seeking that power. Anytime that you live a life that is defeated, it's not because God is lacking in victories. It's because we're lacking in power. This summer, if you get away from God and if you get away from drawing closer to him, it's not because God doesn't want to draw you closer to him. It's because you're trying to get further away from him. First Corinthians 15:57 says, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord." 1 John 5:4, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." 40 years after Othniel decided, "I'm just going to give all that I have to the Spirit of God. I'm going to let the Spirit of God control my life, my destiny, my purpose." 40 years till the day he died. Till the day he died, there was rest. It's amazing when you think about Othniel's life. The Bible says that anyone that was 20 years or older from the unbelieving people that went with Moses, that got to the promised land, that they didn't want to go in. They said, "The giants are too big and we can't conquer them. We're like grasshoppers in their height, in their sight." And that whole generation from 20 years and older died. Except, the Bible says, Joshua and Caleb. They're the only two. Othniel was old enough when they got into the promised land to take a mountain and to kill some giants. I don't know how old he was then in the wilderness. But he was there. He was probably a teenager. Maybe he was 12 or 13 years old or 14. And he saw that unbelief and he said, "Man, I don't want that to be my life." And he gets in the promised land and he helps Joshua in those first 5 or 6 years to conquer the land. And he's doing all of that and he helps in that area. And then Joshua passes away and that whole generation passes away. And they still need another leader and Othniel's still there. The Bible says even 40 years after that, I would have to think that at this point in his life, he was an older man. He'd probably done a whole lot of things. He'd already fought giants. He'd already taken mountains. He'd already helped a lot of people secure the promised land. I don't think anyone would have blamed Othniel. I wouldn't have. To say, "You know what? I've already done my part. I've already gone a long ways. I've already given a lot. I've sacrificed a lot. I'm done." But Othniel didn't do that. He didn't say, "Well, you know how much money I've given to that church? You know how much I've done to campaign for this promised land? You know how much I've helped my Uncle Caleb?" He didn't do that. He didn't say, "Well, it's summertime. It's time for vacation and just to sort of slow down in life. It's time to sort of let my Christian life go a little bit loose." He didn't do that. Othniel was not one that was going to do that. We find that he was looking for victory. He sought victory. Even at his later ages in life, he thought, "I'm still going to fight till the end." God gave them 40 years of rest because of that. I want you to notice, secondly, that it produces rest. Not only victory, but it produces rest. You see, there's never rest without fighting. Peace can never be obtained by doing nothing. You'll never find victory this summer. You'll never find being on fire for God when you're doing nothing. I want to encourage you this morning. If you've not gotten plugged into the usher ministry, you ought to get in there. If you haven't gotten plugged in into teaching a Sunday school lesson or a class, get in there. If you haven't gotten connected and doing the landscape and make sure the lights are working right and making sure that our landscape and our church looks right, get connected. Why? This is a summer to get connected. Stay connected. Stay on fire. Don't let the fire go out. Don't get cold. Don't let it slow down. Don't dry up when it comes to the things of God. Man, stay connected. Get in there. Say, what can I do? Hey, bro, Jason, in the Sunday school department, what can I do? Do you need somebody just maybe to come sweep the floors? What do you need me to do? Hey, brother Cantu, what can I do in the usher ministry? Hey, pastor, what is there to do? I just need to get plugged in. I just need to stay there going. I need to keep moving forward. Why? I want rest in my life. I want peace in my life. It won't come by you just sitting on your hands all summer. It won't come by saying, well, it's just me and my family. You know, it's my family. I gotta protect my family. Only do with what I can with my family. And who gave you those children? One of the things I've been challenged by reading some of the missionary biographies is being challenged by whose child are they? Reminding my wife and I many times as we pray with them, God, if you call them to a mission field, let them go. Give me the strength to let them go. They're not mine. So many times we get into a slow in the summer because that's where the devil, it's got to be your family. And God says, I just want you to serve as a family. Thank God we still live in a country that's not doing school all year round. We got 3 months so we can do something together. Maybe decide, you know what, one Saturday, let's go as a family. Let's just go knock on doors. Let's go to a park and talk to people. Let's just do something for God as a family. Let's Othniel's desire. That's the way he kept himself on fire. Just letting the Spirit of God control him. Fighting and fighting till the end. I like what Matthew 11:28-30 says. Come unto me, all ye that are labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I like what Edward Hell said. He said, I am only one, but I am one. I can't do everything, but I can do something. And what I can do, I ought to do. And what I ought to do, by the grace of God, I shall do. Man, is that your attitude this summer? Can I encourage you, make that your commitment this summer? To say, what I ought to do, I shall do. By the grace of God, by His Spirit, I'm going to move forward. There's a story of a young man in the Revolutionary War by the name of Steve Olney. And on October 14th of 1781, the British had Yorktown. It was a very important battle there. And they had put these, what they call redoubts, and I didn't know what that word was, and I looked it up on Google, and it's like these little fortifications. They're like little forts with fences, and they got their sharpshooters and cannons on top of it, and there was two of them going into the town of Yorktown. And if the Revolutionary War was going to be won by the colonists, they were going to have to take down Yorktown. And, of course, it was a months-long battles as they were trying to take over Yorktown. And, of course, our first president, General George Washington, was key in that. But there was that one battle that they had to take this little fortification. It was known as Redoubt Number 10. And as they approached to go, they finally decided October 14th, we need to attack. And the French allies that we had went with us and some of the American colonists, and they began to attack. And as they started the attack, it went terrible from the get-go. I mean, right off the bat, sharpshooters began to just pluck off the French army. 1, 2, 3, 4. I mean, just plucking them down. And then they went at the American colonists. In fact, it wasn't too long before the general there that was leading the French army was killed himself. But there was just this one man, Stephen Olney, the captain. They're looking where they could maybe breach that wall, and finally he decided, I'm going to go at it myself, and he went. And he found a breach. And as he turned to tell the other men to come, he found out, and all the men that were there found out, they had no more bullets. And neither side had bullets, so they had to go with their bayonets, and they began just fighting hand-to-hand combat. And Steve only, and this time had about five or six British soldiers come at him by himself. And he began to fight as best as he could, and he started, and he took one down, and then he took another one down. But in the midst of that struggle, there was one that sliced him right here on the stomach. And with one hand, he went ahead and covered his intestines from falling out, and with the other hand, he just kept swinging with his sword. And he took down another soldier and another soldier, and it wasn't long before a musket at point-blank range shot him, and he went down and fell down on his back. And even on his back, he did all that he could. Finally, the reinforcements came into that breach, and they took down that fort. They took down that little fortification, that redoubt number 10, because one man decided, I'm going to go in that breach. And cost me what it cost me, I'm going to fight to the end. By the way, he recovered from his injuries, died in 1832 at the age of 77 years old. I'm just simply saying, Steve Olney was a guy that said, I'm just going to fight. I'm going to give it all I got. I'm not going to get the excuse that, oh, my intestines are coming out. Nah, he just put a hand there and just kept fighting. That's crazy. Talk about commitment. Talk about desire. Talk about not quitting. You know, I have to imagine that Othniel was like that. Man that said, Spirit of God, fall fresh on me. Whatever you need me to do, I'm going in there at it. This morning, I want to challenge you to have a summer where you're going. A summer where you're going. I want to end with this quickly, the next couple minutes, and it's this. We've been looking at Othniel and just the fighting spirit that he had and the control of the Spirit of God in his life. But I want to take a quick glance and move our camera lens, if you will, from Othniel to God. I want you to notice this, and this is in your notes. Number one, in the situation when Othniel was living, number one, God, if you're looking at what's going on with God in that story of verse 7 through 11, you'll find, first of all, God is rejected. You find that the people that says they forgot him, you know what that word forgot means? It means they didn't even take him into account. That's what forgot means there. It's not that, I had him and then I forgot about him. It wasn't, I don't care what God says. I know what he says, but I'm going to go against it. No, it means they didn't even take him into account. God was rejected totally. They followed other gods. Then we find that God is requested. First, God is rejected. He's not even thought of. And then times get tough. Now it gets difficult, and God is requested. They cried out to him, the Bible says. This means to shriek in anguish and danger. They're asking God, God, help me now, help me now. And then thirdly, you see that God is a rescuer. He delivers them. You say, Pastor, why is that important? For two reasons. Number one, you need God. You need God in your life. He's not one that you can just sort of ignore for a long time without consequences coming. He's not one that you can just sort of get cold on in the summer and expect nothing to happen. You know what it says in verse number 8? It says, and the Lord sold them. Sold them. You know what the idea there is? I'm sure many of you have had or done this. Anybody ever had a garage sale? Did you know in your garage sale, you don't look for the best things that you have in your house to sell? Usually, you know what we want to sell? The things that we don't want anymore. You say, I don't really care what happens to this thing. Somebody gives me a quarter, you can take it. God said, hey, take it. That was how he sold them. You think you can live life without God? Let me just say, you need God. Secondly, God wants you. It says, the Bible says, and God delivered them. God wants you this morning. I challenge you to make this summer a spirit-filled summer. A God-controlled summer where you're just dependent on him. Where you're willing just to fight on. Where you're not going to make this summer a summer where you just sort of fade off into the distance. But one that says, man, I'm going to heat up for God. Man, I'm going to get even more involved in church. I got even more time now. I'm going to do even more with my family for God. Oh, may that be our spirit this morning. May we be willing to just fight on. God help us do that. Let's pray. Father, I I thank you so much for your word. And all the life of Othniel has so much to teach us, Father, about just not quitting. It has so much to teach us about just being spirit-filled. It has so much to teach us about forgetting past successes, not being dependent on what we have done, but what we can do, and what we will do by your grace and power. Oh, Father, I pray that it would not be a reality in our church, that this summer be a time where we just sort of have a slow in our walk with you. We fade, or we dry out, or we disappear from your house and being in your will. Oh, Father, I pray that this would be the best summer we've ever had. We would have the best time as a family that we've ever had. Oh, Father, I pray that you would work in our hearts and in our lives. Oh, may your word get so much control in our life that we can't help but move forward. Fill us with your spirit, I pray. Use us. May our church experience rest, growth, joy, peace, as a result of us just being committed to being controlled by your spirit. Thank you, Father, for so much. Help us now as we are getting dismissed. Help us to be dismissed with your power and with your spirit. And we ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor. As we stand, just a couple things really quick right before we dismiss, a couple announcements as we stand. Don't forget, tonight is our graduation service. Kindergarten, high school, college, that celebration will be taking place tonight for all those that are members of our church. So please come out tonight. Everybody can come out, but we want to celebrate the graduations tonight, so don't forget that. Also, we've got the different camps that are coming up over the next couple weeks. Our kids camp, our first one is June the 12th, second is June the 19th, so start, if you haven't registered yet, swing by the information center, pick up a registration form, or you can register online as well. And we got our men's meeting coming up June the 22nd. Let's not forget that at 6:30. Let's just not forget some of these things that are going on this week, especially tonight. We look forward to seeing everybody tonight in our graduation service. And it's just a blessing to be in God's house this morning. Let's pray. We'll be dismissed. And we'll see you in Sunday school class. If you haven't got plugged into one of those, we encourage you to get plugged in here this morning. Let's pray. God in heaven, thank you for the message this morning. Thank you for the time of being in your house. Thank you for the place where we can worship, where we come to hear your word. We're thankful for our pastors and our pastoral staff, those that are still willing to teach and preach your word. Lord, I just pray that we would apply it into our lives even today. And thank you for the blessing it is to be here, to be among Christian brothers and sisters. And Lord, we ask that you bless the time of Sunday school and bless the Spanish service that is about to take place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you.
Dios bendiga a todos. Qué bueno vernos aquí en la casa de Dios en esta mañana. Les voy a pedir que se pongan de pie conmigo.